Columbus.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
It is time to go back to work. In the National Hockey League, the Olympic break is over, but boy, what a break it was. If you like hockey, or if you had no idea that you liked hockey until you turned it on during the Olympics, welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Jody, that tournament was phenomenal. And the gold medal game, I think it's easy to say, the best hockey game I've ever watched in my life, without question. The most talent, the most speed, the most drama, and the United States comes out on top in overtime. I mean, what can you say about it? It was exactly, like to me, it's exactly what I hoped that it would be in the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, the stage was set last year with the four nations and the personalities and the draw from outside of the hockey world, just, you know, nationally, especially in the United States, to see, you know, the way that started with USA Canada, the Tkachuk brothers, and everybody squaring off with a fight. I couldn't believe it. And it was a big stage that really set it up for this game. And it was, the whole tournament was tremendous. I mean, the level of skill on every team, I mean, even the Slovaks, the Czechs, the Swedes, the Finns. I mean, it was a really hard fought tournament. But in the end, for hockey, to have Canada versus the United States, gold medal game, and you know, to hear the quotes from the players in game one that they couldn't sleep because they were nervous. You know, they knew the magnitude of what they were representing and what they were chosen to be a part of on their respective teams. And then that game, I agree with you, Bob, 8:10 a.m. on Sunday morning, just watching social media and seeing who was watching and reacting, and then to see how that game played out. I mean, I don't know how you watched it, but I haven't been a fan of anything, and I didn't realize this until that game started. I hadn't been a fan of something that big in a while. And I'm from Canada, so I was pulling for Canada. But at the end of the game, I was truly happy for Zach Werenski in the United States, because the elation on their faces, hockey in general won. I really believe that, because you know, the United States is, what, 10 times or plus bigger than Canada in population. Hockey is growing at an immense rate, and that was just a major boost on the biggest stage in the world. And to see those guys celebrating their victories the way they have, it's almost as good as the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup victory. And it's funny, right, because 10, 12 years ago, you didn't get all the access to what was happening after the TV cameras were shut off, but now we're getting footage of all kinds of stuff that's going on in celebration. So, yeah, I mean, it was such a, and I remember going in, we weren't sure, you know, mm-hmm. Everyone was skeptical, who's going to get hurt, or, what's the risk of this? What happens in the finals? Will it be a blowout? Well, it could not have been more drama played out. And then, of course, it goes to 3-on-3, and you know, Coach John Cooper of Team Canada, you know, said that's not the way you should settle a game. They don't do it for the Stanley Cup Finals. But this is the Olympics. This was decided. I think any team that lost in that way with that game would have had the same response. And, you know, I thought it was amazing drama from puck drop to pre-puck drop until even now, how this has been played out.
You know, sometimes you have to sit back and think how lucky we are that it even got to that point, because going in, everybody assumes it's going to be the U.S. and Canada in the gold medal game. Yeah. Well, you know, other teams were fighting and playing hard, and Canada had to go to an overtime and had to score late in the third period in their second game just to get to the gold medal game. The U.S. had to go to overtime against Sweden. One shot goes the other way. They don't make it to the gold medal game. So, you know, I think that's, and again, we're all thinking about the gold medal game, and it did happen, but man, it just as quickly could have gone differently. Oh, I mean, look at the Slovaks that come in and they upset Finland in the very first game, and all of a sudden you're going, whoa, what's going on here?
And I look at that Czechia-Canada game, because I was in Canada, you know, and Crosby gets hurt. the Canadians could not get going. Czechia had some players. Marty Natchez, I mean, he's one of the best players in the National Hockey League. Their goaltending was good. It was just a – they had to earn it to get there. And then I was wondering what was going to happen in that gold medal game. I had a feeling that it might have been a blowout for USA when I sat down to watch it. And maybe that was part of my heightened interest because it was, you know, they got the first goal. And I just felt – I felt that they had a really good first period with a good game plan. They forced the Canadians to dump pucks in all but three shifts. And those three shifts were when McDavid and Celebrini were out there, and they carried the puck, you know. And then you could feel like if the USA kept that game plan and got that next goal in the first period, you know, it was going to be different. And they had their chances. But Canada got it going in the second and started carrying pucks and stretching the ice out. And, I mean, we've talked about it all season long. Goaltending is the ace of spades in hockey right now. And USA had it, and Hellebuck was, and you think about Hellebuck, the narrative around him, he's never won a big game, he's never won that big series, and what does that do for him? I just, there's so many things I think come out of this positive, and I think for the Blue Jackets and Columbus and Zach Werenski, we don't even know the magnitude of this man bringing back a gold medal here for his country, a country he is so proud to be a part of. His second gold medal in 7 months.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's a winner. And I was thinking about this the other day, Bob. He came into this organization as a winner, you know, won a Calder Cup, understood that this team was going to be in playoffs every year. And when I think about some of the quotes when this team hasn't been in the playoffs and we haven't watched them get in the playoffs, he's genuinely disappointed that this team is not playing or this organization's not at a better place. And I just can't imagine what this energy catapults not only him but his group into here to push in this final stretch. It's going to be very exciting.
What kind of implications will this win have, will this tournament have, will that particular game have? Well, right now let's bring in former Blue Jacket Andrew Castles, who works closely with the Blue Jackets organization, especially in the Learn to Play program. And as Team USA wins the gold medal, well, you might think that there would be some more interest in the sport of hockey. And Andrew, do you think that's the case based on, you know, what you deal with on a daily basis and seeing these kids coming out playing hockey for the first time? Are you expecting a new influx of potential hockey players?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime somebody wins the gold medal like that, you know, it piques interest of kids and families. And we have seen just in the last couple of days, you know, our wait list has grown twice as big. So, you know, our classes are full already for next session. But the great thing is we have June sessions coming up that kids will be able to sign up for that.
Cass, can you explain briefly what the Learn to Play program is and how that's developed and grown in this area?
Yeah, so it's, you know, Learn to Play, as it says in the program, but it's, so we have hockey 1, 2, and 3, and it's a progression that, you know, you start off in hockey 1, and that is beginner, no experience needed, never had to have skated or been on the ice before. You get your equipment included in the price at hockey 1, and it will get you through hopefully a couple of years. And you know, you start off learning how to skate first. We don't use sticks in the beginning. We just want them to learn how to skate. Then we move to hockey 2, where we introduce a stick and pucks and start teaching them how to, you know, move the puck and stick handle and skate with a hockey stick. And then hockey 3 is where we get into a little bit more game type play, no instruction on positions, just, you know, competing and learning how to, you know, just play against one another and have fun. And then from there you graduate, move into Blue Jackets Hockey League and start your journey to become an Olympic athlete.
And where do you sign up for that? Where, for our listeners?
It's bluejackets.com/learn-to-play. Is the website, and all the information is on there with when next session is and the following sessions.
All right. I want to ask you, because you did represent Canada back in 1996 and you won a silver medal. And we talked to Fantilli earlier on this show about, you know, just putting yourself in the shoes of the players the other day during that gold medal game and throughout the Olympics, the pressure you feel for your representing your country and wearing that jersey. What was that like for you in that point of your career? Because it was early in your career. And what do you think back now, like kind of what you saw the other day?
Yeah, it's, well, one, it was an honor to wear the Maple Leaf jersey. And just, you know, the pride that you have when you get to put that uniform on is, it was over the top. You know, and being, I think I was my fifth or sixth year pro then. So I was still young and, you know, I got to play with some older guys, which was great. I definitely leaned on them for advice, but, you know, the stress level and, you know, even just coming from your friends and family, like right. Never mind the rest of the country. It was more like my buddies would remind me like, hey, you know, like we got to win the gold. It's, we're Canada. Right. And it's, you know, and not so much from my family, but definitely my friends, because they are, you know, Canada is hockey to them. And, you know, I felt a lot of pressure from those guys, to be honest. But you also, you know, take on, you're playing for your country and, you know, everybody wants to win, whether you're, you know, a player or a fan, you still want that pride of winning and being known as, you know, the best country in that sport that you're playing in.
And when you watch the other day, I said earlier on the show, I'd never been a fan. I'm not like, I'm a fan, but I was a fan. I was like immersed in this game. I don't even know if you watched it, but if you did, how was it for you?
Yeah, it was strange. So I was actually in Orlando at a hockey event that I was playing in, believe it or not. And there was a lot of Canadians that were at this event, like fans. So, and then there's a lot of Americans, and we had some NHL alumni guys down there, some Canadian, some American, but there was a line that was drawn kind of in the middle there. And it was, you know, when they scored, they cheered. When we scored, you know, we cheered. And when we lost, we cried and they celebrated. So it was, I was a fan for sure. I became, and usually I'm pretty quiet and, you know, just watch. But I think that game was, I mean, what a wonderful hockey game it was to start with. And the way it finished, you know, it's tough if you're Canadian, obviously awesome if you're an American. But it was just such a good hockey game that, you know, I think nobody lost just because of how good of a hockey game it really was.
Yeah, that's a great point. But you did lose.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah.
Hockey won, Bob.
And here's the thing, Bob, too, is I have my American citizen, so citizenship. So I kind of got a piece of that, but I can't say that I won because I didn't, but I did get a little piece of it. My kids won. How's that?
There you go.
My kids won.
Kaz, thank you so much. And, best of luck welcoming all those new kids into hockey through the Learn to Play program. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. That was fun. Thank you.
All right. That's Andrew Castles, former Blue Jacket, and he heads up the Learn to Play program and talking about all those new youngsters coming in as hockey players. Coming up next, we're going to talk to a young Canadian player who watched the tournament and is chomping at the bit to be a part of it sometime soon in his NHL future. And that is Blue Jacket centerman Adam Fantilli. He joins us as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues on 97.1 The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Common Man here.
Remember the old days when football used to have an off-season? Well, we at The Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. Ooh. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus. For the Fan 5K is now open. Join your favorite personalities June 20th at Otterbein University. The Fan 5K features a medal, t-shirt, free race photos, and a post-race party.
Get your spot today at 971therace.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center. Hey there, Central Ohio. I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Michael Behrens. We're looking at quiet weather this evening into tonight, but cloud cover increases. Temperatures down in the mid-20s. We'll be in the 40s on Thursday. A system passes toward our south that could clip our southern counties, but most of us stay dry. We'll be in the 50s on Friday with more sunshine, staying in the 50s to start the weekend. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan with Jody Shelley. Tonight we're joined by Blue Jackets forward Adam Fantilli. And Adam, how was your Olympic break and what did you do on your break?
It was good. First little bit, I flew out to Bahamas, stayed there for 6 days. After that, I flew back to Michigan, watched my brother play against Penn State. That was a good weekend for them. Stayed there for about a day and a half longer, and then came back to Columbus. But over the whole thing, I was watching hockey. It was fun to watch the Olympics.
Was it a good break for you, both physically and mentally, just to kind of get away, especially knowing what's coming on the other side of the break and the intensity that starts tomorrow, actually?
Yeah, it's going to be a sprint coming up here, so we've played a lot of hockey up to this point. It's been a really condensed schedule, so good for everyone's bodies to get a bit of a break, and mentally too, like just kind of get away. Maybe most of the guys felt some heat, which is great. We've been in the snow a lot here. But yeah, it was just good to just hang out, decompress a little bit, and kind of makes you miss the game a little bit. It doesn't take long to start to miss it and miss the boys, so you want to get back, you're excited, and I think it's a good feeling around the locker room, too.
You talk about watching Olympic hockey. How much did you get to see? Like, did you make it a point to try to watch? I mean, you're in the Bahamas. How much of a point are you making it to appointment watching Olympic hockey?
So Canada's first game was when I was at the airport flying out of Bahamas, and there was no, like, way I could watch it with, like where I was. I had to find it on a VPN, get a VPN, go on some illegal site, just to watch them before I took off. It was good. I tried to watch as much as I could, and it was great to watch how it unfolded. It was really fun to watch how everybody played, the rivalries. It was cool.
It's always nice to get away and get some, like, relax, get to the beach and get some heat. But wait, you're from Toronto, you played in Chicago, you played in Michigan, you played in Ohio. This is winter. This is hockey time.
Exactly.
But I'm wondering, like, because I remember during I had a couple Olympic breaks. When did you get the itch to start, like, I gotta like, sweat here, or I gotta get this program going? Or was it laid out for you to have, like, this many days to get away and do nothing, eat what you want, relax, and then get going? How was it laid out for you?
So I can never really do just like the whole eat what you want, drink what you want type of diet. I don't think that's, like, my brain won't let me do
that.
Not
even for one day?
Yeah, maybe the first day I got to Bahamas. I was there with one of my best buddies. I was there with Brinley, and Fabro was there too. So yeah, you unwind and maybe throw in an extra dessert here and there. But to be honest, like it's something you outline, like with how condensed the schedule's been. Like, I wanted to give myself at least those 6 days with how long this break was going to be. Like, okay, like 6 days, like decompress, enjoy yourself. When I came back to Michigan at that point, it was like, as soon as I felt the cold weather, I was like, okay, I got to get back into it. I did their scratch skate on Friday, and then I did their team practice with them on Monday, and those were the, and then I did a couple workout sessions, couple Pilates sessions, and then came back, and I knew we had a long runway here to get back into it. They were going to have us on the ice. They were going to be skating us pretty hard, so I knew that was coming, so you didn't want to bag yourself too hard before coming back to Columbus.
Yeah. I want to switch gears here and get to the Olympics, because you're talking about, you know, being being free and being young with your friends and getting to that level. I watched Canada-US as the biggest hockey fan I think I've been since I was like 10 years old. You know, as a Canadian, I was on the edge of my seat. The first 11 minutes, I felt exhausted because I was so, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was so into it. I don't know if I've ever been that into a sporting event. And I felt like a true hockey fan. And I was screaming and jumping, and I was getting upset, and everything was going on. And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then when USA won, I felt so good for hockey. I mean, what was your experience like watching that game as a young NHL player?
Yeah, I felt like more of a fan than I expected to. I'm sitting on my couch and you look around, and I've played against every single one of these guys, and you know exactly what they are. You know how good they are. You respect them for how good they are. But like, for some reason, when it's Canada versus USA or Canada versus Russia or whatever it is, as a kid, the stuff you grow up watching, you go back to being a fan. Like, I remember sitting on my couch when Makar scored, and I jumped off my couch, and then I stopped for a second. Like, what am I doing? It is crazy. But it was cool. Like, it had me on the edge of my seat the whole time. It was a great game. I'm really happy for how everyone performed. It was great. Obviously, as a Canadian, it sucks to see. You wanted to see them bring home gold, and but I'm happy for Z. Like, he deserved that. He's been playing so good. So to see him live out that dream and that experience is as cool as a teammate.
I was in Canada for the Canada Czechia game for the 10 a.m. start, and it went to overtime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the how tense it was in the restaurant I was in. I was in Canada watching Canada play.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that heightened what that game meant to me, because, you know, I've been here a long time down in Ohio, and the true passion, and they knew every play and everything was being talked about, and it was like, wow, you know. And they couldn't believe that it was going to overtime, and then when they won, it was pure elation. But I thought that whole thing was, the whole experience was tremendous. And is that on your radar now as a young player, to be in that level, to push to that next level, to be in the next Olympics?
Yeah. I woke up at 8 a.m. because I knew it would be an 8:10 roughly start. And
perfectly timed.
Yeah, I went right on my couch and started watching. And as soon as the first period was over, I texted my dad, and I was like, I have to play in this game at some point. Like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, it's more than what you would think watching. And it's hard to explain. Like, just the patriotism you feel watching that game. And yeah, I want to get there. I want to play in that game. I want to be a part of that team. I know there's a lot of steps I have to take to get there. But that's definitely a goal of mine right now.
Did you put yourself in their skates at any moment? Was there a moment where you're like, what is that, like, the magnitude of getting the puck on a breakout or in the middle of the ice or starting the game? Was there a moment where you're like, geez, what's that like?
Yeah, you think about it from a bit of a different lens, I think. Like, if Canada's defending and USA is kind of working around the ozone, you're sitting there and you're like, well, when I play in the NHL, like, I got to worry about Quinn Hughes. You got to watch him on lefty, and you got to make sure he doesn't get past you. But now you got to worry about Quinn and Z, and then you got Eichel and Hughes and the Tkachuks, and you got to be aware at all times. So I'm very curious as to what that feels like for every single guy to be one of those guys that you're usually thinking about going into a game. And it's hard to imagine, but it's something I want to be in. I think it would be an incredible experience.
What's it like 3-on-3 in the NHL? Do you get nervous?
I don't know about nervous.
I'd be so nervous.
It's
especially the last guy back with the puck. You know what I mean?
You don't want to fumble it.
Yeah,
you're an amazing puck handler. Why?
Me?
Yeah.
Just the magnitude of it, like the responsibility of it. I don't know. I felt myself. That play that Zach made on that goal, and McKinnon, and how he was in between, and it was just, when you break that down, it's like, oh my goodness, inches and the mindset of just how it all played out.
Yeah, like when I think it was Makar that tried to poke it off Zach, like a couple inches, and Canada has a 2-on-0 the other way, and if it didn't go that way, and they went the other way and scored. So like, when you're in overtime, I think the way I think about it is you just have to be a little bit extra careful about the things you try, because you have to know what you could be setting the other team up for. You miss the net, you could be giving them a 2-on-1, or you don't back check hard enough, or whatever it is. You got to be extremely sharp. But I think when I go into overtime, there's a sense of calm. Like, you have more space, you have more time to work with, and it's really exciting. Like, you have more of a chance to score. There's only three guys on the ice, so it's fun.
We've got Adam Fantilli with us tonight here on the Inside Edge. We'll have more with him in just a second, but I want to remind you, you can watch Adam and his teammates all year next year. You can pick your seat. You can pick the matchups that you watch the Blue Jackets play against. You can do all of that by being a 2026-27 Blue Jackets season ticket holder. The plans are available right now. They start at just 11 games. You can save up to 40%. There are flexible payment options and exclusive discounts on merchandise and concessions just for you. Learn more by going to bluejackets.com/ticket plans. You're listening to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Men, we all...
The old days when people lived to be 40. You only had one option for listening to your favorite show.
But now... Ooh, baby! Radio, podcast, The Fan app, and YouTube. Ooh, just to name a few. Live or on demand.
You have no excuses.
The Fan. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Talking with Adam Fantilli tonight here on The Inside Edge. That golden goal was, you were talking about being in Michigan. That's like the biggest recruitment tool right there, isn't it? Because you had all those guys on the ice when it was over. Werenski, Hughes, and Larkin were all out there at the same time. You know, how much chatter was there when you were back in Michigan about the alumni that were playing in that tournament at the time?
Honestly, like, not like crazy. Like, it's so normal there. Like, there's been so many guys to come through there. Like, you got Kyle Connor too. You got Larkin, yeah. Quinn, all these guys that went through there, and it's just part of the norm. It feels like to have all these stud players come out of there and do that type of stuff on international stages and in the NHL. So it's weird. It's almost like they're desensitized to it there.
When I looked at that Canadian bench and saw the guys that weren't used in the last few, the last part of that game. And you look at the names of the players that are there, you're like, what? How did they not get out there? You know, that's the losing side of it, right?
Yeah.
You always second guess.
100%.
And I looked at some of those situations, and man, the chances Canada had, I don't know. I mean, I just couldn't imagine the pressure. And not having Crosby, I'm not making excuses, but you think of the clutch moments he's had in his entire career, you know?
Yeah, he's... Like a lot of people have said it, he walks on water in Canada and for good reason. I mean, being in a locker room with that guy, it's more just like, yeah, he's such a phenomenal hockey player and what he's done on the ice is so special. But what he brings on the bench, just the weight that his voice carries, it means a lot. So that's obviously, it was a huge loss for Canada. It sucks to not have your captain in that moment, but... Yeah, like you said, it's not an excuse. They had to try and execute, and USA made good plays. And
what did Werenski play? 12 minutes?
Yeah, a little over that during the regulation. Yeah.
How excited do you see him?
I'm pumped. Yeah, I mean, I remember like what you were just talking about, like the guys that weren't used on Canada or whatever. Like hindsight's always 20/20 when it comes to that stuff, and. You look at it, if it goes the other way, we'll be looking at it like this guy's leading all D-man and goals and points, and he played 12 minutes. Like it's crazy. We remember we were all sitting on the couch watching, like, this guy's barely playing.
Yep.
And as to what he's used to, like we see this guy play almost 30 minutes on a night-to-night basis. So it's weird. It's we're hoping that means he's a little bit rested and he's ready to go for us.
Right. I mean, for you guys to get him back in that locker room. And the first game in Boston, I can't wait to see what that's going to be like. Because it's going to be a hero's welcome, but you're also, like, and I think of Hellebuck back in Winnipeg, what that does for him. You know, there's going to be a big boost for some of these guys from Team USA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about Boston, and let's talk about moving ahead now with the Olympics behind you, the break behind you. You guys have been getting ready for this game coming up against the Bruins. Look, you already talked about it being a sprint, but the very... first two games you're playing out of this break have huge implications because you're 4 points behind both the Bruins in the wild card race, the Islanders in the division race. What's the mindset, and how much does it help going into that break having won seven in a row? Because, I mean, I would imagine you guys feel like winners right now as you get prepared for this stretch?
Yeah, our mental state is great. But at the same time, I don't think the break could have come at a worse time for any other team. Like, we were doing so great, and it's going to be a challenge to keep that momentum just right out of the gates. But it definitely helps your mindset. It definitely helps the vibes in the locker room. And yeah, those first two games are 4-point games for us. Like, we have to win those, and we understand that, and we know from then on it's going to be every single point matters.
You know, I know what you mean about it being a bad time to go into a break. This is the way I've tried to think about it, maybe to make myself feel better on this whole thing. It's hard to win 7 in a row, 9 in a row, 10 in a row in the National Hockey League. Maybe if you can just win 7 and then put together a 3-game streak on the other side, maybe that's the way to look at it, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully we can go into another 7-game winner.
Yeah. What's the message? I know we get the message from Bonus, right? We've accomplished nothing, but what's the message from you guys in the locker room?
It's the same thing. I mean, nothing else matters other than making the playoffs. Like, points don't matter. Individual stats don't matter. It's making the playoffs. That's something I want to do. I want to see what the playoffs look like in Columbus. I haven't seen that yet. And our fans deserve it. Like, my rookie year, we were at the bottom of the league, and we were still getting almost sold out crowds. Mm-hmm. So our fans deserve it. We've been doing everything we can to get to this point, and that's all I want to see. I'm really excited for it.
Let's go back to the off season, because you missed the playoffs by 2 points, and the worst stretch came after the Four Nations break. What does that do for you guys?
It's all learning experiences. Like, a lot of us are young in this locker room, and the more we go through things like that, the more it's experienced, the more we realize how much it matters. And that missing by 2 points, it leaves a real bitter taste in your mouth. We were in it right up until the last game, and then all of a sudden, like, Carolina beats, or Montreal beats Carolina, and then our last game means nothing.
Yeah.
So I hated that feeling of tying my skates going into a game that had zero implications, and I don't want to feel that again.
So when you think about what you could have done different, maybe personally and as a team, does that come up in the locker room? Or just in your mind?
In my mind, I don't know, like, you spend a lot of time by yourself, and you think about it. you think about it, and I'd say for about three weeks to a month after the season, I was thinking about individual plays I could have made that would have won us games, that could have made differences and making the playoffs, and times where our teams went into lulls where just one more win would have had us in a great spot. So that's not something we want to be thinking about going into this off season. We know how important these games are, and we're going to be putting everything on the line to make it.
And there's a lot of hockey left. And I remember 2010, I came out of the Olympic break. I was with the new team in the New York Rangers. And, you know, we won a couple, then we lost a couple. And then we, with 10 games left, we lost to, I think it was Washington and Boston. We thought we were done. You know, we were 4 or 5 points back. But then we went on this roll. We ended up losing in a shootout to Philadelphia, and they went all the way to the finals, like game 82 shootout. But I think the lesson to this point of the season is, and correct me if I'm wrong, we forget how long it is. And we'll give teams playoff spots 25 games in. We'll give them give them playoff spots 45 games in. We'll give them playoff spots 60 games in. But that's why, like, golf is 18 holes, hockey is 3 periods, and the season is 82 games long. The teams that deserve to be there and use the regular season to learn, they end up getting there and actually doing something. I think the East this year is wide open in the playoffs.
It's crazy. Yeah, exactly. And you look at certain Cinderella stories, like you look at St. Louis, and yeah. I think, what was it,
2017.
They were last place in the East at one point. Like, it was
dead last.
Yeah.
Made a coaching change.
Exactly.
Pittsburgh, weren't they pretty low when they hired Bosma that year?
Yes.
Underachieving.
Yep.
So there's situations and stories like that we look to and go, yeah, it's possible. We have a great team in our locker room. We're very very positive, and we have all the right pieces. So, like you said, in the East, like, if we get into the playoffs, anything can happen. And everyone always talks about how playoffs are a different type of game. I want to experience that. I think that's a type of game that I think I could fit into and try and play my best hockey.
Yeah. And like you were saying, there's so many examples, even for you guys as a team. Look, last year, there were 2 weeks left in the season, and you had lost, what, six in a row?
Yeah.
It was over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were all walking around, and I can't believe it's ending like this. And then all of a sudden, you're back on a winning streak. And as you said, you're going down to the final game before you know it. So, yeah, it's all about those lessons. And, you know, hopefully that we'll see a real story here in learning lessons and overcoming and getting back to where you guys want to be. Adam, thank you so much for joining us tonight and talking about all the things that we did. We appreciate it so much. And best of luck coming out of this break and getting right back to where you guys were going into it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
That's Adam Fantilli of the Blue Jackets. We'll be back to wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Looking to sell
you, Britain. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
And for the Fan 5K is now open. Join your favorite personalities June 20th at Otterbein University. The Fan 5K features a medal, t-shirt, free race photos, and a post-race party.
Get your spot today at 971therace.com.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The boys are back in town this Saturday when they take on the New York Islanders. The puck will drop at 6 o'clock at Nationwide Arena. Make note of that, 6 o'clock, not 7 o'clock, on Saturday nights. You can still get your tickets by going to BlueJackets.com. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you, wrapping up this week's edition of The Inside Edge. Before we talk about that Islanders game and the Boston Bruins game, which is before it, that one tomorrow night in Boston, Adam Fantilli. What a great conversation with him to, you know, pick his brain about where he is, about wanting to play in the Olympics, about what he did on his break. You know, this is a guy that is extremely important for this team coming out of this break.
Listen, I don't know what has happened. I think, you know, we talk about growth of hockey with people who are now getting into it. I have been re-energized, and I am so excited for this last stretch of the season just to – I mean, after watching that Four Nations and seeing that level of hockey and the pressure on those players, and then coming back and speaking to Adam Fantilli as a young, this is third year in the National Hockey League. We're sitting here with him, and our listeners couldn't see it, but there's a sparkle in his eye as a kid to play. What a goal to play for Team Canada in the Olympics. And to have Zach Werenski back, I've said it a couple times in this show, I'm excited to be around this team and the league for the next part of this season. Mm-hmm. And I look at the schedule. It's going to end quick, and I don't want it to end. Like, this is – I don't know if I've it's the excitement of what's happening. And when you think about the Blue Jackets and Nationwide Arena, it's always a great place. But this next month and a half is always the time that it is – it's everything's heightened because the race is on – the focus is on the Blue Jackets here in the city. There's a buzz now with Zach Werenski in the Olympics and Elvis being there as well. These guys have pushed the hottest team in the National Hockey League going into the break. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to be front row bringing it to our fans. And I'm very genuinely pumped and ecstatic that this season is going to start up again. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen. I know there's going to be disappointment around the league. I know the Blue Jackets, I expect them to make the playoffs now where they're at. They're the first team under the line now. I know Fantilli touched on it, you know, at the worst time for the break. I think there's something different. I think last year was unknown territory, and I think when you go into a break as a young team, the break is different this year because you realize, as we talked with Adam about, they lost it during their five-game losing streak. And missed the playoffs by 2 points. And I always go back to when the Blue Jackets faced Tampa in the playoffs and the learning experience Tampa had from being swept and then went on and won two Stanley Cups. This could be a special year. You know, I thought last year was special, but I think this year could be a very special season if they can get things, the goaltending, everything seems to be shored up going in. Guys should be healthier. Werenski didn't get overplayed over there. He's coming back with enthusiasm. He said to us on the way out, he's excited to get back because of the position they've put him in. So it's the best time of year for hockey right now, and I think a great segment. And I think about Rick Bonus. Gets hired, coaches just under a dozen games, only has one loss. It gets a break because it's had to been an exhausting, what, I don't know, was he 3 or 4 weeks here? It seems like he's been here all season now.
It does.
And, you know, and now he's back and rejuvenated. He's getting his training camp, right, which is important. It's not a full training camp, but he called it a camp. And there's just a lot going right here for this team right now.
I think what you just touched on with him and his quote-unquote training camp is important for a number of reasons. He knows how to do this.
Oh, yeah.
He's been through this before, these breaks, and he just has been able to push all the right buttons so far, and there's no reason to think that you take 3 weeks off and that changes.
Right, and it takes time to learn personalities. I look at him with Elvis Merzlikins. I saw him on a camera shot hugging Elvis after a game in New Jersey, I think it was New Jersey. And I thought, well, I mean, what's that like for Elvis? We talked to Elvis about that, mm-hmm. actually, before the break on the podcast there. And, you know, those are little things that he gets. And he's in it with the team. But it takes time to learn personalities and understand, you know, because, I mean, we grew up in the era where you could yell at us and we'd be better. Right? Or take something away.
In theory.
In front of the group. And right. It's like, well, okay, I better, you know, pick it up. But now it's different, right? And it's good. Yep. It's feelings and figuring out. And he's a master at that. And I just think, I don't think all the talk and accolades are being taken in to not soften up the team, but they know there's business to be taken care of. And he's leading that. So it's not like you've done so good, you're the hottest team in the league. They don't care. They want to win Thursday in Boston, and then they want to win the next game, and then they want to, you know, that's a dangerous team to play against. And I really feel like they're gonna keep this rolling.
Tomorrow night in Boston, Blue Jackets and the Bruins, 7 o'clock, and then I mentioned earlier the Saturday game against the Islanders, 6 o'clock. And then you go back to New York and take on the Rangers. They're three winnable games. The way this team has been playing, every game is a winnable game. And that's their mindset going into it. And you heard Adam Fantilli talk about that. So I agree with you. This is going to be fantastic. It's going to be a great sprint.
Aren't you excited?
I am. Sometimes you need that break, right?
It's been a different break, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the hockey was still focused. Like, we were admiring these players over there. You know, the break is good. I there's nothing wrong with a break, and especially when you come back hungry with something to prove. And I think that the teams that get to that quickly will come out. And listen, they're going to lose. There's going to be a couple losses in there, and they're going to feel like, oh, you know, no. Once you have your baseline of how you can play, it's quick corrections. That's what this final part of this season is about, is being able to right yourself quicker. In game or game to game, to get like, okay, that wasn't good enough in this area. If we do this, we'll be better. And because, listen, Nashville's here Tuesday, March 3rd. That's a team that's done a lot of upsetting of a lot of good teams this season. They're not going to make the playoffs, but you said every game is winnable. Every game is losable. And you don't want to look back at games like that. You just have to have the same approach for every game.
And the trade deadline is March 6th.
That's right.
So you only didn't even touch on that. No, we didn't even talk about that.
I think he's got to just lock up these players, and if there's a trade to be made that enhances this team a little bit, okay. But there's nothing drastic that needs to be done.
I agree. They and Adam said that too. We have the guys.
Yeah,
we have the guys, and they're confident with that, and as well they should be. So, all right, Jody, that's it. Put a wrap on another one.
All right, that was good.
Thanks, welcome Bob. Back.
Good to be back. Let's go.
That is Jody Shelley. I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks to Adam Fantilli for joining us on the show tonight, and thanks to you for being there as always. Blue Jackets in Boston tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We will talk to you from there. Thanks for listening to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Saving money.
Future.